Hello, my name is Denisa and I live in Timișoara, Romania. I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship and praise God because this ministry has helped me a lot understand sound Bible doctrine.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study titled, Why Bethlehem? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those to our attention by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us using the U.S. Postal System, sending any check or money order contributions to support the ministry, addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at bbfohio.com. We do not solicit contributions, but we are frequently asked by listeners how they can contribute, so we provide this information for your convenience. We now begin this study titled, Why Bethlehem? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is part 1 of 2.
We try to accommodate people because our messages over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, our Sunday school's been getting between 1 and 200 views, and some of our regular studies are getting good. It's only, we don't edit those, but the edited version sometimes gets up to 300 or 400 people just on YouTube, and then another couple hundred, 200 or 300 on sermon audio and so forth. So we try to make it so they can enjoy their time studying. All right, why Bethlehem? We'll get into Luke 2 in just a minute. And we'll start with a current events update. We talked about Southern Baptist last week, and actually Sunday and Wednesday. It was Southern Baptist pastor named Albert Mohler who's warning of some encroachments in the churches, and I wanted to I try to make these current events only so long, you know, before, we don't want to spend too much time before we get into Bible study. But the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest mainline Protestant denomination in America, and so when you see them going the wrong way, that's a real concern, and they've been going the wrong way since I was saved when I first became aware of what's going on in the world in about 1990, 91. They have their own new version of the Bible, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. They now call it the Christian Standard Bible. So they're pushing the Vatican versions on their own people. And they've been very backward about taking a position on other things. And if you don't stand for anything, you're going to fall for everything. And that's what the Southern Baptists are doing. And so this is an article from the Epoch Times. Marxist critical race theory infiltrates churches and the culture. And this guy says, when the Southern Baptists, the largest Protestant denomination in the country, endorse critical race theory, you know American Christianity has a Marxism problem. At the Southern Baptist National Convention in Birmingham, Alabama, in June, a resolution on critical race theory and what's called intersectionality gained passage with a strong majority. And just so you know what that means, critical race theory recognizes, supposedly, that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. The individual racist need not exist to note that institutional racism is pervasive in the dominant culture, and this is the analytical lens that critical race theory uses. in examining existing power structures, and it identifies that these power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy, which perpetuates the marginalization of people of color. In other words, racism is about power, it's exclusively a white problem, and it's intrinsic in the current social system. Now, I hope I don't offend any of the non-white people by saying that there are just as many racist blacks, and there are just as many racist Mexicans, and there are just as many racist, you name this, the race, as there are white people. And just on the face of it, critical race theory is based on a lie. But it's not about racism. It's about pushing progressivism. It's about being able to undermine our Constitution and undermine our institutions in order to push the agenda of Antichrist. But most Christians are either too stupid or too ignorant to even care. That's the bottom line. And we have a generation of Christians who have they're about this deep, a mile wide and this deep.
Don't the Baptists acknowledge that they said this is real?
Wow. They passed it goes on to say, it's not just a Southern Baptist problem. This false Marxist doctrine is taught in churches, seminaries, universities all across the United States. Some brave souls, and that would include us, are standing against this corrupt doctrine. But hundreds of thousands of seminarians and churchgoers are going along with revolution posing as religion. The late, great Andrew Breitbart used to say that, quote, politics is downstream from culture, end quote. He could have added that culture is downstream from religion. The Southern Baptists, the most conservative major Protestant denomination in the United States, have started down the Marxist road. Several other denominations are well ahead of them. If this isn't reversed, how will this shift affect our culture and politics in years to come? The fact is, 20 years ago, we have warned our SBC friends that the new versions and ecumenical compromise would lead right where it is leading. 20 years ago, and before that, I'm just saying 20 years ago because that's when I became aware of what was going on, and I joined my voice about these things. And it's just amazing that so many Christians today see the world going to hell, they see the churches going to hell, but they refuse to stand up and say, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And they just go along with it. And that's our current events update. And keep in mind, that's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The God of the Bible said that as we approach the end times, we would see a great falling away. And that's part of what we're seeing. And our local Southern Baptist churches around here are as shallow as can be. And they promote the new versions, they promote ecumenical compromise, and they do not take a strong stand on anything other than, I know a few of them do take a stand on abortion and still take a stand on against gay marriage, but they do so officially, so to speak, but they don't bring it up, they don't talk to their people about it, they don't teach about it, and so people who attend their churches are just as clueless about these things as the guy on the street. And so that's what you're dealing with these days in our current events. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we pray, Lord, that there be more and more people who will open their eyes to these things among the saved, those who are truly born again. We may be a remnant, and we may see more and more of the mainline denominations and our culture continue to go down the progressive road into Sodom and Gomorrah. But your true believers, your true body, can take a stand. But there's still so many who I believe are truly saved and yet will not take a stand, will not open their eyes and wake up. And as we're told in Ephesians, I believe it is, awake thou that sleepest. That is our prayer, Lord. And we ask you, help us as we study this morning. Help us to learn some. Every time we come to church, we learn a little more. And then when we go home 7 days a week, reading our own Bible in our own homes, doing our own Bible studies, we can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're in Luke chapter 2. We finished our study of Luke chapter 1 in a previous study. We're going to start with these first five verses, and we're going to ask the question, keep the question in mind as we study, why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? I was born in Portsmouth, Ohio. And most of you, I think, probably know what city you were born in, what hospital even. And it's really of little consequence where you were born. But when it comes to Jesus, it was important that He was born in Bethlehem. So let's go ahead and read, beginning in verse 1. Just read the whole thing with me, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. Amen. Say amen. You sound so enthusiastic. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the presence of other believers studying the Bible this morning? Amen? Okay, a couple of you are. I'm glad to see it. So anyway, these first two verses are among the most controversial in the Bible. How many of you knew that? Raise a hand if you knew that these two verses, well, then you've learned something. So, aren't you glad you came? Yes. Just saying, there's going to be an awful lot of people go to church all in 2019 and not actually learn anything. They're just going to be told how wonderful they are. Skeptics have tried to claim that Luke was in error or just made this up. And that's a big deal. If Luke is just making this stuff up, then the Bible's not the Bible. And that's the point. That's their goal. That's the reason they say things like that on the History Channel and on PBS and in your books, your commentaries. A lot of the commentaries you'll pick up are written by liberals. And they try to make you doubt the infallibility of Scripture. And we had a discussion. If you miss Sunday school, you ought to be watching those on the Internet. We are handing it to everybody on a silver platter where you can go home in the comfort of your own home and turn that on and watch it. And Brother Stephen taught this morning, and we discussed how important it is that you understand that every word of God is inspired of God. And that Luke wasn't just making this up. Luke is giving you an accurate historical marker so that by knowing history, remember I constantly harp on it, no Scripture and no history, if you won't, you're not going to be of much use to God when it comes to talking to the lost and trying to preach the gospel. Because these days you go out and you talk to them about the gospel and say, well, now you know. I don't really believe that Bible anyway. You say, why not? Well, and they'll roll off some of the craziest things. You're like, how and why do you even know that? I mean, you know, I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people, the only reason they ever read a Bible is to try to figure out a reason not to believe it. But, as Christians, we are to contend for the faith. Go over to Jude. Go over to Jude. Right before Revelation is a one-chapter epistle called Jude. And look there in verse 3. And when you see reference to Jude, they'll just say Jude verse 3. Because there's only one chapter. Jude verse 3. Everybody there? Yep. Jenny, read that real loud.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Jude would have liked to have, if he had his way, write a book about salvation. But he says here that the Holy Spirit led him, moved him, to write and exhort believers that they should earnestly contend for the faith. And we say this, I'm not saying this to try to upset anybody. It's telling you the truth. I said about history, if you don't learn the scripture, you won't learn history. You're not maturing spiritually. And if you're not contending for the faith, then you're backslidden. You're not maturing. The Bible says that you and I are to contend for the faith. One of the reasons the pagans get by with so much out there is because there's no one there to contend for the faith. They don't have any opposition. Now, when I think of a contender, I think of a boxer. How many of you think of a contender? You think of a boxer? Yeah. Well, huh? I could have been a contender. Yeah. What movie was that from?
I have no idea.
Anybody know what that line's from? I hear it all the time. I don't even know what it's from. Mark, do you know what movie that's from? I could have been a contender. It ain't Rocky. Rocky's a Adrian. You know. And Rocky wins in the original Rocky. You know, he wins. He beats Apollo Creed. Now, the next guy to come along, I believe was Mr. T, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was the contender. Well, what would happen? Rocky goes in the ring and Mr. T doesn't show up. That's what's happening in the world today. Christians aren't showing up. There's a ring. There's a fight. Satan and his people show up. Christians don't. And what I've seen is like this. You get together with a family gathering. You go to work and you're sitting in the break room, wherever it is. And the unsaved liberal starts running their yap. What's the Christian do? Say, you know, I don't mean any offense, but I don't agree with you. And the Bible says, the scriptures say, that's not what happens. What happens, I think, probably 90% of the time from what I've seen, is the liberal starts running his mouth and the Christian goes to the next room. There's a ring. There's a fight. But the Christians aren't contending. Amen. That's what's going on. And so you read in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and you hear all this claptrap out there. There are a lot of people whose faith, they may even be saved, but their faith has been harmed, especially as infant Christians, as immature Christians, because the elder Christians who should be able to explain these things, they remain silent. And there's no one contending for the faith. Here's an example of what's on the internet at Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a joke. And no one should use Wikipedia for anything. I think it was 10 years ago, I signed up to assist, to contribute to Wikipedia. I read a lot. I read a lot of history. I read a lot of biography. And, of course, the Bible. So I thought, hey, at the time it seemed like a good idea. And I'm thinking, I could contribute to this. Every time I would change something that was inaccurate. I'm not talking about opinion. I'm talking about factual history. I'm talking about people and their biographies. I would give documentation showing that what was on Wikipedia is false, and they would then go back to the previous posting, delete what I wrote, and after, I think, 3 times, they blocked me. I should have kept all the documentation. I didn't. But I'd email them, and they would email me back, and they would be told. I'd say, what I said was factual. What you've got out there is false. The reason why they don't care is because it's run by liberals. And they want to create a history, an encyclopedia that is full of lies. I haven't even looked. I can't imagine the things they say about some of the people. I know the stuff on Peter Ruckman. They don't tell you all the great things he does. And they got stuff on there about him being a racist and that kind of thing. They don't tell you all the good stuff he does. And, you know, the word racist doesn't mean anything today. Call me a racist and I'll yawn. Racist, if you call me a racist today, it just means I don't like liberalism. I'm just not a liberal, so I'm a racist. That's how abused that word has become. But anyway, this is what they've got on Wikipedia about what we're reading in Luke 2. The census of Quirinius. And, of course, your Bible says Cyrenius. So they put the wrong name on purpose. It was a census of Judea taken by Publius Sulpicius Quirinius. There's some baby names. I'm pointing because if you do, you know. Roman governor of Syria upon the imposition of direct Roman rule in 6 CE. There you go again. Instead of AD, they or common era, they want to get rid of Anno Dominus, which is the year of our Lord. See how godless the world has become? They're taking Jesus out of everything. The Gospel of Luke uses it as the narrative means to establish the birth of Jesus, Luke 2, 1 through 5. I'm still reading from Wikipedia. But,
goats, but.
But, places it within the reign of Herod the Great, who died 9 years earlier. No, listen to this, no satisfactory explanation of the contradiction seems possible. And most scholars think that the author of the gospel made an error. End quote. There's Wikipedia trying to convince you you don't have a Bible. And that's and all kinds of people. And this is what you'll find on websites like Snopes. Don't use Snopes. Snope is a joke. And Wikipedia is what they ought to call it. It's garbage. And we're going to see why. Begin with this. Here's some facts about Luke's account. The claim that such events only took place every 14 years is false. See, what they try to make it look like is that how it happens today. They're going to have a census here in America, and it'll probably be done within a year. I believe that all the information gathering and everything will be done within a year. And they try to act like back then, they had the same type of system that they could get this done in a year. It's not possible. But they won't discuss that. The occupied nations, Rome-occupied nations, were regularly taxed for, number one, just a proof of allegiance. You would have to go back to your place of origin, and then you would have to, by taking part in the census, you are submitting to Caesar and pledging your allegiance to him, is how we would say it. Also, its political gamesmanship would go on. And so there's all kinds of things, and I'm not going to get into all that, but you know how politics is. It was the same then as it is today. Politicians are crooked. And so there's all kinds of things going on that they don't talk about when it comes to what happened in Luke 2. And additionally, Haley's handbook, so handbook, we did have some extra copies. I think we might have one. Yeah, we have one in our library. It's a good little handy help for Bible study. It points out this additional information. This is a text, a screenshot from my own phone in my own copy. This was a census of the Roman Empire. Roman historical records placed the enrollment of Quirinius in AD 7. Which was 10 or 12 years after Jesus was born. This historical discrepancy was for a long time troublesome to biblical students. But, this is a case of a sheep budding, but in recent years, ancient papyri have been found from which it is learned that Quirinius was twice the governor of Syria. So for years, they've been saying, couldn't have been Quirinius, because he was governor of Syria in these years, not the time Jesus was born. Now we know that he was governor of that area on two different occasions. Luke expressly says it was the first. Look in verse 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And that's, again, the language for our day, we might have said, and this was the taxing the first time Cyrenius was governor of Syria. But that's what it says. That's what it means. It has been found also that people were required to go to their ancestral homes for the census. They used to say there's no reason why they would go to Bethlehem. They would have just stayed at Nazareth. Wrong again. Historical documents prove that they would have gone back to where they were from. Thus, the spade of the archaeologist goes on confirming one by one, even to minutest detail, the historical accuracy of Bible statements. And then another thing to point out is during the year that the census was announced, the findings are announced, the census didn't take place in that same year. It would take years, plural. So this covers a period of years, plural. And so the idea that the, just the bottom line, that this is an errant text is false. And Cyrenius was governor of Syria twice, and this taxing took place during his first term. And I hope you followed that. You get the idea that whenever anybody says that there's an error in the Bible, just rest assured, and I'm saying this is how I look at it. When I've been confronted with things, and people say, well, look at this. The Bible says this, and I say that, and this is it. And I think, you know, my only problem is at this point is I'm ignorant. I just have to do some more research. And if I do some more research and study, or it might be, it's just a matter of time before the archaeologists discover. Well, just what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I showed you that whole city, really, thousands of people lived there. And up until, I think, 2013, all the history books and all the geography books of Israel would have told you it didn't exist. This predated them, I think. The one I was showing a couple weeks ago. Because they were trying to say it goes back 10,000 years, and we were talking about the dating thing as well. But the bottom line is, for years everybody was sure that that was nothing but empty ground going back as far as time. And now we know better. And so just keep that in mind as you study the text of Scripture. And also, we take issue with the constant deletion of the word taxed. At the end of verse 1 and the verse 2, and this taxing. They changed that to enrollment and registered and censor in the new versions. The NIV, verses 2 and 3, says this was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. The problem with that is because it's not a full account of what actually it was. It wasn't just a census. And I'll come back to it in a second. But the ESV says this was the first registration. And you say, look at that. Why did they change census to registration?
Money, money, money.
In order for the ESV to be copyrighted, they have to make a certain number of changes to the text. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a different work. So a lot of these changes, they just do it so they can make more money. And of course, a lot of people have an NIV, and they're like, "Oh, there's an ESV. I've got to go out and buy that, and I'm going to get out of the ESV and the NIV, and then I'm going to get one that has both of them in one under one cover, and then they come out with the Christian Standard Bible. Oh, I've got to have one of those. And I'm telling you, I know Christians like that. It's like the flavor of the month club, and every time a new version comes out, they buy one. They don't read any of them. These people I know don't. And it's as P.T. Barnum said it, there's a sucker born every minute. And the Christian book publishers know them. They make money off of them. And no, the King James Bible translation is not an error, as new version sources confirm.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg inviting you to tune in to the 24/7 internet radio ministry of Bible Believers Fellowship, which can be found at bbfohioradio.com. All day and night, King James Bible teaching and great congregational singing with the occasional special by one of our BBF locals. Again, that address is bbfohioradio.com.